T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's what we've been waiting for.
It's Friday.
TGIF.
And that can only mean one thing.
The weekend is landing.
It's time for the Reardon Round Table.
Yes, that is correct.
Now, here's your host, Mark Reardon, on KMOX.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of Friday Reardon Roundtable. The panel is assembled. They've been in the green room for the last 15 minutes doing fireball shots, I think is what was happening, if I looked over correctly. Isn't that what was going on in there?
And I wish. No, I know. But we're willing to learn.
Jane Duker is here with us on a Friday. How are you, Jane?
Really good. The weather is beautiful.
Isn't it nice?
It really is nice.
Finally. It's a little sticky out there today. But
we get like 3 of these a year, so enjoy.
Well, the difference now, I think, and this might be the best example tonight because we're only going down to 71, but the cooler nights, right? We get into the 50s just a little bit. Meg McBride is here, local Democratic strategist with Show Me Victories. How are you, Meg?
I'm very well, thank you.
And our good friend Joe Holloman from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Joseph, I've never called you Joseph before, but I'm going to call you that now.
Well, okay.
How are you?
Nobody does. I'm good. How about yourself, Marcus?
Nobody does?
Well, I mean, my mom used to when I was in trouble. But seriously, that was about the only person.
What's the middle name?
Charles.
Joseph Charles. Joseph Charles, what have you done, right?
That's when I just took off. If I heard the middle name, I just ran. Wasn't going to get any worse than that.
I think we all did. All right, so we have beautiful weather here. Joe, let me start with the hurricane. Florence is moving in. You have pretty much you could take the video of any hurricane with reporters wearing raincoats, plopping them in the middle of the beach, having them battered by the winds and the rain, and that's the coverage that we're getting nonstop after a bunch of hype. And the wind right now is at 35 miles an hour. So brutal wind condition. Now, I'm not going to try to minimize this because the storm surge is pretty serious.
Sure.
The rain amount is serious. But was there a little too much hype on this hurricane? We want people to be safe, first and foremost, to evacuate. But this pattern seems to repeat itself quite a bit with these hurricanes, doesn't it?
Well, it's immediate television. The one thing that television breaking news likes even more than political scandal, even more than civil unrest, is a good storm or natural disaster. For one, you don't have to interview anybody to figure out who's to blame. Though apparently some people are blaming Trump.
Yeah, they're blaming Trump.
Apparently Trump
me.
Did cause the hurricane, but that's another point. But the thing is so you get to remove that. So what it is, and it's wonderful video for television. This is not a newspaper story. This is not a radio story. This is a television story.
There are differences. Look, like fires, for example. Fires are video television. You can't do a big fire justice on the radio or television. Sure, there are investigative reporting, I think, that newspapers far better for, and radio has its strengths too. But yeah, this is a big TV story. We're all curious. I mean, the first thing, I was up early this morning, my wife said, "What's going on with the hurricane?" I don't know. Let's turn it on. Let's find out, right?
And I'm going to be cynical, and people, you know, I'm talking to.
Wait, you're going to be cynical?
Again.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, we won't be shocked here, but when you're talking to other people and they say, you know, what happened, you know that in the newsrooms of, like, CNN and the big video places, that while they're glad when storms get downgraded or they'll hear it's not going to be as bad as originally expected, you know there's a program director somewhere going, damn. Because seriously, it's ratings. That's absolutely what it's about. And I applaud the reporters who go out there. And I've done those sort of things where you had to cover things that put you in harm's way. So I applaud that. But if you're a weatherman, you're also kind of waiting for this, honestly. I mean, you know, that was like when people said, well, when you covered the Ferguson unrest or the Stockley unrest, wasn't that terrible being out there? And I was like, well, I kind of volunteered to be there. Where else would I want to be?
Yeah, you want to be in the thick of it.
I hope everybody's safe, though. Bottom line, I hope everybody's safe.
I am amazed, though, that given the amount of coverage, which I admit, I get watching and, you know, you're like, you're mesmerized, but people still didn't leave. So we have 2 deaths now
of
people who just won't leave. And so while I say, yes, I agree with everything Joe said, I also think that, you know what? I mean, if we didn't have coverage, how many people wouldn't have left? Because as soon as they hear a downgrade, they're like, oh, okay, everything's great.
Well, and how many people still don't believe it, right? I think on MSNBC,
well, they're getting rescued.
they were interviewing people yesterday evening, and they're like, oh, of course we're not leaving. They always blow it up in the media. It's always made to be bigger than it ever ends up being. And so it is
now they're rescuing 200 people.
It's a major problem of how do people take it seriously? How is it not just a media firestorm? But actually, I don't see how people can sit and watch this all day. I turned it on this morning. I just wanted to hear some news in the morning when I'm getting ready. And I was like, oh, it's just going to be, oh, it's wet. It's rainy. We're going to have a flood soon. I'm like, okay, that's about all I can
Right. And as Mark said, you could pull footage from 2 years ago. And unless you didn't recognize the flora and fauna around there and said, that's not the Carolinas, you wouldn't have any idea. And I mean, people get addicted to it. Also, the other thing, too, that come in, and I knew a couple who lived in the Florida panhandle for years, and one time they just said, they just stayed. They said to hell with it, because every year they were packing their stuff up and moving in. So it's like, we're going to weather this one out, and then we're moving out of here for good. And that's what they did. So some people, I think, just say, I've done this 6 or 7 times before, so...
Doesn't it make you happy to be a Midwesterner, though? I was thinking this all day. You know, they kind of make fun of us on the coast. And I'm like, you know what, though? This is pretty...
We get tornadoes and floods. I mean, we all have
I'd take that over wildfires and hurricanes.
And the mudslides and the fire. Yeah, I know. I'm like, I think Midwest living is pretty good.
But let's, Joe, let's talk about how this is Trump's fault. It's clearly Trump's fault that this hurricane is taking place. There's so much nonsense out there about climate change and all this silliness. Because even if you believe that we are causing the planet to warm, the evidence is very clear. You know, this is what's funny. The other side likes to say guys like you and me are science deniers. Well, the science here is that hurricanes, by their very number and even intensity, have gone down since the 1930s. Now, the destruction level is up, but the reason is because look at some of the homes and some of the places that you're seeing on television right on the flipping ocean. They weren't there in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s. People get kind of stupid. They're like, this is beautiful. I get it. Why you want to overlook an ocean? But guess what? You do that, you're at risk of having your place washed away. So this nonsense about climate change has been effectively debunked. By the way, even some of the folks out there that think that we're causing all of it have attempted at least to add some common sense into this. You don't get that from some of the editorial boards, certainly not Joe's, but the Washington Post and elsewhere. I mean, that's just so annoying.
The Washington Post was so funny to the point of sad or just ridiculous, where it had about how hurricane hitting coast, Trump is complicit.
Yeah, right.
That was their headline. It was like that if Donald Trump sitting in the White House going, I don't believe in global warming, cooked that hurricane up, called it out of the ocean like King Neptune, and threw it out there. I mean, you know, you've lost your mind, people.
We need a cartoon.
Oh, you will have one. They will have one.
No, King Neptune.
They will have it with Donald Trump.
That's pretty good.
Visual with the shirt off.
They will have Donald Trump hair on it, and they will do it, and the liberals will point to it. And then apparently none of the hurricanes or disasters were President Obama's fault, or going back, President Clinton's fault. I guess if we look at some of the ones that happened during W's term, he might have been a little complicit in those, too. So
you guys, and you know this, Jane, you won't admit it, but
you guys are rooting for
death and destruction because you want to blame Trump. That's
Absolutely
what the left wants right
not.
Now.
No,
yeah,
I'm
you,
on,
at least be honest
honestly,
about it. Come
though,
on.
That's insane. That's
ridiculous.
No one wants people to die.
Right, no. And look, I believe that climate change is real, but I also believe that, and even if it's man-made, which I believe, that there are, you know, there are decisions to be made on how you address that. And so no one person is at fault. No one party is at fault. You know, this is something that we're going to have to decide as a society. What are the costs we're willing to bear to deal with the issue? So that, but him like denying the whole thing about Puerto Rico is just
that is another issue.
But that's the one that aggravates me. If anyone really thinks that
the president is complicit in this hurricane taking place, they're ridiculous.
Well, the Washington Post does.
Well, that's
they
ridiculous.
Said it.
And
they,
I don't think it's
it
fair
out.
In
that's
any
ridiculous.
Way to say that all liberals would
He's
even believe that because
executing
it's moronic.
Anything.
Which pretty much one of the banner newspapers, though. I mean, let's not mince words here. We're not talking about, you know, the Poughkeepsie Press here.
Well, they can do dumb things, too. I mean, it doesn't...
We've known that for years.
Obviously.
Joe, can you defend what the president said about the death toll? Now, I do think, in fairness here, and I don't know why I have to always do this, but I do think that those numbers
Somebody has to be fair.
I don't know why you do it either.
here's the only reason I bring it up, is because I do think that the numbers, the 3,000... it's a bit nuanced in the sense that the hurricane didn't come 16. In and wipe 3,000 people out. But in the aftermath of the hurricane, which is still relevant, I'm not trying to minimize those losses, that people didn't have food, water, medicine, and that there were, you know, there were people that lost their lives in the aftermath,
why couldn't he just say that and say, look,
he should
that
have.
Had fundamental infrastructure problems in Puerto Rico that increased the damage and the devastation that was occurred by a natural disaster.
Because he might be the most ineloquent, inarticulate president that we've ever elected.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's, I mean, why is it that, I don't know. I mean, and the problem here has become when you take a position that's not liberal, you're automatically defending Trump. I have no defense for Donald Trump. The only defense he has is that he won the election and he's the president. Did he misspeak? Yet again, of course he did, and sounded like an idiot. What happens is he a child of, you'd think he would be older, but a child of the instantaneous Twitter generation, which apparently Donald has become.
He's been reborn.
Is he looked at, there was controversy about when they said how many people died. For a long time, it was at 64 until George Washington University went down there and looked at it and started looking at the auxiliary casualties, sort of like Civil War. How many people got killed in combat? How many of them died 6 months later because of infections and things like that? Then when they looked at it in the aftermath, they came up with a better number. A, I'm sure Donald Trump paid no attention to that whatsoever. I have no doubt in my mind. It's not a defense of what he said, but when you have someone asking you a pointed question, and the press is very much in the business of catching Donald Trump, sort of like shooting fish in a barrel, saying something stupid, he responds back in these flippant ways, and he sticks his foot in his mouth. He sticks both feet in his mouth. There's no defending what he says, though I see where it germinated from.
It's not a matter of being inarticulate. He fundamentally does not know what he's talking about. It's not like he was trying to say something smart and just couldn't find the words. He's completely uneducated on the situation. I don't think he even realized that Puerto Rico was an American territory before this hurricane happened.
Well, I think what happens is, and this is a pattern, and I spoke with his son earlier this week, like he takes things very personally and he strikes back. That's one thing that's never going to change. 216, it's a Reardon Roundtable. Meg McBride, Joe Holloman, Jane Duker, back with more in a moment on KMOX.
Now, back to the Reardon Roundtable. Once again, your host, Mark Reardon. On KMOX.
All right, lots to cover here in our second segment as the roundtable rolls on. Jane Duker, Joe Holloman from the Post-Dispatch, Meg McBride with us this afternoon. Meg, let me start with Dianne Feinstein here, who has a bombshell, she says, when it comes to Brett Kavanaugh. And she says that she has information that she has referred to the FBI concerning the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. That individual that gave her that requested confidentiality, declined to come forward or press the matter further. I have honored that decision. I have, however, referred the matter to federal investigative authorities. Now, the details of this are sort of leaking out. I'm a little uncomfortable with even spreading those details because I think it's unfair to Brett Kavanaugh. But here's one of the most important points. Whatever these allegations are, were said to have taken place when he was in high school. So do we go back to fifth grade and maybe find something from kindergarten as well?
Well, it's just out of curiosity. Something of a very serious nature. And when you have somebody who's sitting on the highest court of the land, I think it's very fair to be thorough about everything in their past. I don't know what year it's said to have taken place in high school, but I think, you know, you show judgment.
Why hasn't this come out before?
Well, I have a concern with the way that Dianne handled this because apparently she's had this information since July.
Right.
And she should have been sharing that with every Democrat on that committee way back then so that this could be in the public. I do think it's appropriate to turn it over at the FBI, but why did she just do it now?
And why? Why should the FBI have that?
It infuriates me that she did not bring this up sooner, and now here we are, and it's another way that we have not handled this the way that we should have politically. And for the issue, if it's that serious and it's credible, which I believe it is, it should have been dealt with immediately.
Why do you believe it's credible? Why? Because you don't like Brett Kavanaugh.
How do Republicans in 24 hours come up with this magical list of 65 women he knew in high school who say, oh, he's such a nice guy. He was such a great athlete.
Do you
have
that
never
list?
Done this wrong.
Joe, do you have your
list
ready?
You come up with that in 24 hours. They knew that this allegation was out there. They tried to hide it. The Republicans did. And they pulled together. He went to an all-guys school.
And he
all of a sudden
has 65
women who are vouching for how wonderful of a guy he is. And
that,
by the way,
boy, you wouldn't
want
to be able to defend yourself against ridiculous allegations, would you, Joe?
Just because you're nice to some women does not mean you are not capable of doing horrible things to other women.
Now, I think that going back to high school is irrelevant. If what, and I'm not going to repeat them either, but if the allegations I've been reading are true, I don't care that he did it in high school. If he did that in high school, it's a big problem. However, I have a lot of concerns about the way it's come out. I don't like the list of 65. I don't know many men who have a list of 65 women who say they're nice to them sitting around. I doubt either of
just
you have
keeping
that.
Just keep a list, just in case.
By the way, I don't think I could just, in all honesty, I'm not sure I could come up with a list of six from high school. But see, I was kind of a loner radio geek too.
Right. So I think dumping this like right before is real. I mean,
on the
takes
eve of the confirmation
the
vote, yeah,
that you were you know, so upset
been
about it.
Biting his tongue here.
All right,
here we go.
Cut off the woman.
Here we go.
No, please finish. Please finish.
Go ahead.
Because
go ahead.
Because say it's the fourth quarter and there's 12 seconds left and you're down by six, and the quarterback says, "Everybody go deep," and you throw the Hail Mary. That's what Dianne Feinstein did. Because there's also reports showing that not only did she have it in July, she said in July she was not going to do anything with it because it was too dated. It went back to high school and didn't share it with anybody else. What changed is it looked like Kavanaugh is going to get approved for the Supreme Court.
He's going anyway.
So they threw the Hail Mary in, and what I can see, and the other thing it reminded me of is other than Aaron Rodgers connecting against the Detroit Lions, reminded me of Joe McCarthy with his list of card-carrying communists. I have a letter here. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I've sent it to the FBI. Well, actually, now they're backpedaling on the FBI thing, saying, we sent it to the FBI because they're in charge of doing
background checks. Right, exactly.
So we think they should have it.
Yeah.
We're not calling for an investigation. And the FBI said, we don't investigate these. Local authorities would have to do it. And it was 30-something years ago. This was a Hail Mary pass by a desperate group of Democrats to see what they could do.
Dianne Feinstein. Right. I mean, I have a huge problem with how she handled it.
Well, she's one of the highest people in there, and I haven't heard a Democrat come out.
She should not have been able to make that judgment solely on her own. All of her colleagues should have had this information when they were questioning them last week. And so she made a mistake.
And have we heard from them?
Just because she handled it poorly does not mean this information should not be out
there. But to Joe's point, why aren't they condemning that? Because they're not.
Oh, they have. They are not happy that she decided to do this.
And they were angry at her in caucus, and they told her.
Very much.
Sure, cut off the guy.
Right, you're a victim.
So
hashtag you too.
And I don't think whatever you're thinking is, I could get 65 women. Yeah, sure. I have about 800 people who follow me on Facebook, and this is a political move. And you throw that out there and say, hey, I'm getting, if Kavanaugh sent out or Kavanaugh said, I'm getting unfairly
maligned
by someone with this letter.
What
would
kind
you
of staff
please
does it take to call 65 people within 24 hours assemble a letter?
If I could finish this, I could explain how this would work.
Because it's weird.
If I get on Facebook and I get on Twitter and say, here's what's being said about me. If you disagree, blah, 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 please say you'll sign this. On Facebook, you can get 65 people to respond to anything at any time.
That's a public social media platform.
You said, how do you get 65 people together in minutes?
In minutes. It's not like Brett's like, hey guys, they're saying bad things about me. Will you make a comment below that I'm a nice guy?
The question was how fast could I get together 65 women to say something nice about me?
But you're not up for the Supreme Court.
It's a totally different platform.
He had to go.
They had staff individually calling people.
Are you guys deliberately trying to miss my point? Your question was, how do you get 65 women to come to your defense? I can get 300 of them.
That's not how he did it. You're missing.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. He's trying to make a point, and you guys were asking this. Joe, I understand what you're saying. I think the listeners understand what you're saying. I don't get why these two are focusing so much on the list. I think it's ridiculous that that's the focus of this. The focus should be on Senator Feinstein and what she did. The Hail Mary. I like you're full of analogies. So usually full of something, but you're full of great analogies today. And this probably in the end won't matter. I need to point out, though, not to take anything out against Joe, but there's a pattern of this. And his own newspaper featured something a couple of weeks ago about Josh Hawley going back to high school. I mean, how far back do you guys want to go to destroy someone's character?
Wait, first of all, again, it depends on the seriousness. If there is a serious allegation, the fact that you were a rapist in high school, if that's different than saying, okay, you got drunk at a party and said something stupid. Okay?
So you just recklessly, again,
if you were a rapist in high school,
if you want to be a United States Senator you want to be on the Supreme Court, you probably should not have that kind of behavior anywhere in your history. And it is fair game if it comes out.
Meg, what was the previous confirmation vote when Judge Kavanaugh went for his federal appointment? What was the vote? Why didn't this come out then? Why weren't the Democrats raising
hell? Well, there's clearly not as much scrutiny
on the reason is because this is the Supreme Court. The reason is because you guys cannot confront the notion of not legislating through the court.
But will you agree that if somebody committed rape or did some serious crime when they were in high school, that you don't just say just because it was high school, it doesn't matter?
No, because what I would agree to is if someone committed an offense like that, they should be arrested and prosecuted. And a United States senator, a reckless United States senator, shouldn't be able to, 40 years after the fact, come forward with ridiculous allegations that have not been vetted to prove that this guy shouldn't be on the court. That is reckless, irresponsible. And if a Republican did that, you guys would be throwing a fit. More of the roundtable coming up here on KMOX. The host gets the final word all the time. Although, Joe, I'd let you have the final word if you want. You want the final word on that?
I'll let them have it.
All right, there we go.
This is the Reardon Roundtable with your host, Mark Reardon, on KMOX.
Oh, it's another lively roundtable this afternoon with Jane Duker, Joe Holloman from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Meg McBride is with us this afternoon as well from Show Me Victories. And Jane, there is do we want to call this a debate? There's a forum that's taking place 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I guess this is the first joint appearance between Senator McCaskill and her Republican opponent, the Attorney General of Missouri, Josh Hawley. So it's sort of a debate style matchup here. This is for the Missouri Press Association that's going to start at 3 o'clock. I don't even know if anyone's going to carry it anywhere. Will this even matter at this point? And what are we expecting to come out of this?
I don't know. I mean, and I think the auditor one, they're doing one for the auditor's race as well.
That ought to be good.
I think would have been very good. It was going on just a bit ago, and I couldn't find the video, but that Republican candidate, she is something else.
It would be great to watch her.
Nicole Galloway.
Let's just back up just one moment. I want you to comment on Hawley. But let's explain the auditor situation, because the Republicans put someone forward who won that race in somewhat of a surprising fashion without spending a lot of money. But there are legitimate questions about whether or not she has resided in the state. There's all other things about, debt from the past, and she's going to be the auditor. Jane, you and I have criticized our situation here in St. Louis County. It's a big embarrassment, and she might, here's the scary thing, because I don't think she should even be on the ballot, but it's too late for that. She might win if this whole thing turns red in Missouri again. So that's the backdrop on that. It's really embarrassing. She's not a good candidate. I think Nicole Galloway is probably going to, she's more qualified. This other person isn't even qualified for the job. So in order for me to be consistent with my criticism of our circuit attorney, for example, with no experience, I'm going to have to criticize that, and also the frauditor in St. Louis County. But when it comes to Claire and Josh, Josh has been kind of throwing down the gauntlet here for debates. What I would say, based on what I know, we'll see if you guys agree here, I wouldn't be so quick to want to tangle with Claire McCaskill. That's going to be a tough debate.
I've been on the other end of those. She's a phenomenal debater. And look, Josh can talk about maybe 3 issues. And so when she starts really throwing stuff around that he doesn't understand, it will become apparent. Now, I think it's a shame that they're not televised. I mean, it certainly isn't going to do any good.
Well, there will be one televised, closer to election day.
Because look, do I think everybody watches them? No. But I think you have to at least provide the opportunity for voters to be informed. If they choose not to, well, then they choose not to. But I would like that. I think that opportunity is important. I wish people watch more debates. I have never seen a situation, unless you do something way off the charts, the debates never really change a result. I mean, look, this is a toss-up. It's going to remain a toss-up. That's not changing. We're not going to know what's going to happen until the day of.
I personally, though, for just pure entertainment, would have loved to see the first time that he has to look her face in the face and try to argue with Claire McCaskill and beat her. Because by the time they do it again, he's probably going to have had a little more prep. He's going to kind of know the way she works. And I would have loved to been able to see the first time he gets schooled by her, because it's going to be beautiful.
Well, you guys act like he's not qualified. He's not a smart guy. He can't handle the questions. I think he can. My advice to Josh would be, don't underestimate Senator McCaskill either in debates or in this election. But the debates in and of themselves probably aren't going to sway anyone, but it's the aftermath of the debate. If you can get a gotcha moment or a soundbite that comes out of it, that's what people are going to be looking for.
Well, and that's exactly what it is, and I rarely watch debates anymore for that reason, and I try to find transcripts of it, because what happens now, and especially, and I blame the media, all of us, for the decades of dumbing down the American public with what we give them, most people watch it are either A, political operatives, who it's part of their job to watch it and they need to stay up on it, or people who watch NASCAR to see car wrecks. And they're hoping somebody makes that statement, that one stupid statement. They don't care if it's Holly. They don't care if it's McCaskill. Right. They can go, ooh, well, you know, that's going to come back. So it becomes like a reality show, which we're all trapped in anyway. And we all get to vote at the end of the day. Was it Josh or was it Claire? And I think most people just say, you know, forget about it. I'll pick it up somewhere else. They're not going to say anything of substance. They're going to say what they've been saying most places most of the time. So why bother? And I think that's where debates have devolved to in America.
Yeah. I mean, she's tough. I mean, I worked for Governor Holden when there were debates between the two of them. And there is a skill to that. He's never even tried a lawsuit. That ability to debate and react quickly off of your feet comes with years of training. And she's had years of training in doing that, not only as a prosecutor, but then as a public. She's been through the press mill for years and years and years. And that is an acquired skill that he's never even represented a client. So I just don't see
who cares.
Well,
people who are going to vote for Josh Hawley don't care about any of that. What they care about is they want a different vote than they've had from Senator McCaskill.
And I'm telling you why she's going to win. I believe his voters don't care. You're right. I
don't believe her voters don't care either. I don't think anybody's voters care.
There are independents in the middle who do see the fundamental difference between these two on the issues, and particularly with health care. And I do think those people would be very interested to see how they deal with each other on that subject when they're face to face, when you're not saying a blurb on the radio, when you're not getting your 20 seconds on TV, when you are face to face and have to talk about something as important as health care. I think Senator McCaskill is going to do.
And another issue for Josh that's come up, because he has to, well, look, he's stuck to Trump. I mean, he's aligned himself with Trump, and he's doing it for better or worse right now, and he's rolling the dice on what this is going to mean in November. But obviously, his support for the president also comes with support for the steel tariffs. And you have a company, Mid-Continent Nail Corporation, in Poplar Bluff. They have 335 workers, and without an exemption to tariffs, the general manager, Chris Pratt, who's been great in, you know, everything from Jurassic Park to some of the other movies out there, told reporters that if they don't do something here, they're not going to survive. So he made the prediction that they might not survive through Labor Day. They have up until this point. But that's an issue for Josh Hawley moving forward,
I think,
Joe, don't you think?
I think tariff is an issue, and I think right to work is an issue. I mean, there are a lot of Republicans who are anti right to work. And so he's got a little bit of trouble with that. And I think that in some areas of this state, he still has people who are mad at him on the Greitens thing. It's not fair. He did, in some ways, he did the right thing. But I think that there are going to be people who are going to make him pay for that. And so, look, we're talking a race that's like going to be won by a percent or less. I mean,
could be just a couple thousand votes.
Right. So these kind of little things with his base, problems with his base, could cause him trouble.
I think people are more concerned, you know, maybe the independents, maybe even some Republicans, less on the Greitens thing, more on the ladder climbing. I think the ladder climbing bothers a lot of people. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
I think the Greitens thing is Greitens almost a memory already. I mean, people just want to put that behind them. So it's kind of like, oh, yeah, that happened. Right to work, I agree with you only to an extent, because I think what the right to work vote showed recently, and I always send the disclaimer, I'm a proud union member and have been most of my life. But it showed that there's a whole bunch of union members who have no problem voting Republican. And then you bring up the right to work bill, we're going to vote against it. And Missouri has been like that for 30, 40 years. So I don't think the necessarily right to work right now could hang them up.
I think that he's for it.
Well, but I think here's the point. The point is, I said it's not going to hang him up, because the people who are the adamant union supporters, organized labor, they're going to vote for McCaskill anyway. Y'all are trying to get him to. I mean, that's what you guys do, is get those people lined up to vote for the Democrats. So what I'm saying is I don't think the Missouri voter has shown that they're more than happy to vote for a Republican candidate. And when those Republican candidates put right to work on the ballot, they'll vote that down too. I think there's an independent streak there that can't be denied.
That's Joe Holloman from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Meg McBride, Jane Duker, one more segment to go. We're going to talk about Norm MacDonald and that whole fiasco and what happened there. Coming up next.
Now, back to the Reardon Roundtable. Once again, your host, Mark Reardon on KMOX.
All right, let's talk about Norm MacDonald here. And I spent some time on this yesterday. He's a very funny guy. I think he's one of the funniest guys out there. One of the reasons that Roseanne was such a good show is because Norm MacDonald was writing that show with Wanda Sykes. And I know Wanda was one of the first people to leave after the tweet, but he has spoken in defense of his friends, Louis C.K. and Roseanne, and he mentioned Chris Hardwick, who, Joe, I don't know if you watch The Walking Dead. I do. He does The Talking Dead after. He's a funny guy. He's a comedian. And he was accused of sexual misconduct, but they vetted that story. His reputation, surprisingly, was not ruined. So Norm Macdonald says something in defense of the people that he's close to. That gets misconstrued, I think, as no sympathy for the victims. Because what he said, and let's kind of dial down on this.
Actually, Mark, he did not say anything in defense.
He was mentioning
when they were both slaughtered, he was saying, I am not defending what they did in any way. I simply said in a cut-up clip that because Louis and Roseanne had clearly just been through a similar incident that very few people, I told them they should talk to each other. So he clarified on the Howard Stern show that he never defended either one of their behavior, that he is a huge supporter of the Me Too movement.
Yeah, that's a good clarification, because he didn't defend, but he came to their defense, I guess what I was trying to say, he came to their defense as a friend.
He didn't speak ill of them.
Right.
That was his crime. He did not condemn them.
Well, actually, he did. He said what they did was wrong. He does not support what they did.
Right.
But all he basically said was that very few people have experienced it. They deserve the experience, but they should probably talk to each other.
And that makes the reaction even worse.
Right. You can agree or disagree with that statement, but he did. Because when I first read those clips in the article, I was like, wow, like that seems a little off base for somebody like him, who just seems like a very nice, you know, kind of funny, just focuses
normal,
on his comedy,
smart,
not really trying to be injected into politics or these other things. So I was very eager to listen to him talk for a full 2 hours, uninterrupted, unedited, about what happened. And I came away from hearing that and thinking, you know what, his clarification makes a whole lot of sense.
But even the clarification, though,
guy,
Megan, got him into trouble. The part of the original quote that was problematic for a lot of people is he said something about how Louis C.K. and Roseanne, they lost everything in one day, and the victims did not experience that. He wasn't saying that what the victims went through wasn't 100 times worse. In fact, I think he said this, and this is where he gets into trouble as well, because he said something about people with Down syndrome, because this was on Stern. I heard him say this, that you'd have to have Down syndrome to not feel sorry for the victims. Well, that gets all kinds of other people upset. The guy can't win.
Well, that is clearly a poor choice of words.
Well, but you know what?
Which he ended up calling deplorable.
Big deal.
Later said, what I said about Down syndrome was deplorable, but he was trapped, okay? I mean, what he did, and sometimes you say things that you shouldn't say. And he did, and he apologized for that. And he had said, I think it was, he said, I'm in the position of now apologizing for my apology. And also what got him in trouble, too. And I think this is, again, and I always go back to this, is to where we have dumbed ourselves down so much that 4 or 5 words or a sentence will be grabbed. He also got in trouble because he said, I'm glad to see that the Me Too movement has slowed down. They also took offense to that. And all he was saying was that the Chris Hardwicks of the world weren't being thrown under some bus, and people were saying, hey, okay.
And wasn't he distinguishing between when you have women, when you have a situation like with Harvey Weinstein, who
with
100
numbers,
women,
yes, absolutely,
come out
he did,
and say, okay, these women are all not lying.
He said 500.
They're all telling a similar story.
Right.
There's a lot of other people
who
can corroborate
this. But when
it
gets down to one person, well, then it becomes a little bit more nuanced.
Right.
When, you know, the discussion about it becomes more nuanced, because, you know, then it becomes, you know, he said, she said, and that's a little bit different.
And you summed it up perfectly. That's what he said. So I'm glad they slowed down, and it was taken offense that he was trying to stop the Me Too movement.
Which is actually a positive thing, in the sense that we're saying, look, we're getting rid of all the nasty, as best we can, we're getting rid of all these
ones. We're thoroughly investigating. We're looking at these things as they come up. I thought what really was really fascinating about his conversation was how he was talking about what we were discussing earlier, the difference between doing print interviews and having the opportunity to speak for yourself in an unedited way. And he dropped a cool kind of nugget. He said Adam Sandler has only done one print interview in his career as a comic, and he will never do another one. And he's like, I'm learning that lesson, because as I sit with you, I'm able to fully flesh out my thoughts. And I don't, because he claims he was misquoted and they were using answers
splices
for different questions, and that they totally misrepresented what he said in that.
Well, look, the Down syndrome comment, like he said, you're right, he apologized. It was a terrible thing to say, but let's kind of even put that into perspective. He's sitting down with Howard Stern. Let me tell you something. I'm sure Norm Macdonald and a lot of other people have said far worse things that could offend people out there, but it's in the context of being on Howard Stern show. It never makes any news. In fact, if he would have said the same thing and this wasn't a controversy, there would not have been any ink on this at all in a blog or on newspaper or whatever, no one would have cared. But because this is a controversy, he's got a new show coming out on Netflix. By the way, I'm going to watch it because I was unaware. Yeah. If you come from the no publicity is bad publicity school, he's been treated unfairly. Did he get himself into some trouble with the way he may have said something? I suppose. But I think that the condemnation from everyone just ready to jump on someone and try to ruin another career is reprehensible. It's disgusting.
Well,
why can't people back
him
off? Even wait a sec. Even on the Down syndrome thing, can people not go through their entire day and not get offended by every little thing? If you don't like what he said, don't watch his damn show, okay?
Well, and this is the other thing. Like, you're putting him in the same category as the guys who actually commit the crimes. I'm like, look, if, you know, they are not equal, okay? You might, you know, this is the thing. If everything is outrageous, then nothing is.
Well, so, we've lost our ability to listen. In this country, all we do is react. And that's not in defense of any one thing, person, or issue, but that is just the truth.
Well, that's because of Twitter also.
Well, social media has kept down that basically there's two reactions, joyful agreement or livid outrage. And if you don't have one of those two, stay away because nobody cares. We want you to be incensed or we want you to be ecstatic. Don't just say, that was pretty good. No place for that anymore. It's red or it's blue, on the island, off the island.
You're not allowed to agree with some of something and not the rest.
No, that's nuance.
2 minutes left. One more topic. Joe Holloman, Serena Williams, go.
Serena Williams, as I said, has a right to act like an arrogant, bullying, poor sport, multimillionaire athlete. Simply, should not be denied that right simply because of her gender. It's no issue at all. If there is unfairness being that women are being treated different than men at Wimbledon, then
or
they
tennis
should fix
matches.
That. Tennis
right.
matches. However, the idea that somehow her display was courageous, it was as petty and as obnoxious as John McEnroe's and Jimmy Connors and all the other spoiled athletes when they do that. I don't like it from any of them. If they're being treated different, men and women, fine. But I honestly do watch a sport hoping that the people, male, female, young, old, act like good sports. She did not, period.
I agree with you that it wasn't good sportsmanship, but I also think that other men who exhibited worse sportsmanship were not, you know, didn't
there's
have
not
a game
the outrage whenever men do it. Obviously, I think we all know that, and you're saying that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I think
worse.
The other thing that you have to really look back with her, you know, her rage, I put that in quotes because I think that's kind of an overstatement of what happened. She has been continually kind of targeted by the entire tennis organizations, you know, overly drug tested, finding out she's drug tested more than all the other athletes that she competes with is compared to. Not allowed to wear an outfit that, you know, a white woman clearly had worn before. I do think at a certain point when you're just like, they are piling on me constantly, you blow up. And I don't blame her for it.
I think that she did throw a little temper tantrum. I think there's evidence that's come out even since I talked about this on Monday that indicates that there's not as many inequalities in the treatment between men and women tennis players because people have vetted those numbers. They've looked into them. They've broken them down. It just seems that way on its face because of how everything went down over the weekend. We didn't get to the cartoon. I think the complaints about the cartoon are sort of silly, too, but we're out of time. Jane's going to hang out in the next hour. Joe, great to see you.
Thank you. Thank
Meg,
you.
Great
Same
to see
here.
You,
Thank
too.
You.
Second hour of the show coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.